I want to welcome you this morning, guys. If you are have your phones on you, you can actually go to the Father's House page and just share this word this morning that's going to go forth. I'm just going to share it right now onto my public Facebook. And so if that's you, please share. Just get the word of the Lord out this morning. Sharing is caring. And let's just press in to get God's word out this morning all over the world. This word, we have people that tune in here this morning. We want to welcome you from wherever you're watching this morning, whether you're watching from online here or Facebook or wherever you're watching from this morning, whatever nation you're in. Let us know if you're on Facebook Live this morning, tap in a little comment box there and let us know where you're watching from this morning. We'd love to just welcome you this morning to our online church and the teaching that's going to come forth this morning. May it be an incredible blessing to you. In the name of Jesus, may the word of God just flow in the Holy Spirit into the deepest parts of who you are this morning. We bless that in you. We just want to welcome you this week. Monday night is our Equipping the Prophets evening, and that will be at 7 o'clock for those of you that are on school. For those of you that are watching online, ETP is our Monday night school. It's a year's course where we are equipping the prophetic, equipping people that are new to the prophetic right up to the office of prophet. So it's very community based. It's very relational. And we do a lot of community stuff together and just talking and building relationships. Our heart is to build a real family community that will stand by one another when times are hard or when we're uncertain, all that kind of stuff, but actually know who we are, that we are powerful people in God, that we are prophetic people that hear the voice of God, have the interpretive ability to discern the voice of God and to be able to release that to those around us or to the nations or wherever God has you placed in your sphere of influence in the world today. So we want to just welcome. If you are interested in coming on to school, you can go to freedomfireministries.com, freedomfireministries.com, and you can go there to the schools page, and on there you will find Equipping the Prophets, and have a look there and see if it's something that you feel that you would love to sow into your life and gain more tools in your belt for this journey that we are on with Jesus. So good morning, Robert, Pastor Robert from Narango. Pastor Robert, where are you from, Pastor Robert? Is it Kenya that you're in, or am I being totally insulting here?
Uganda, I think.
Is it Uganda? Kenya. Yeah, welcome. Woohoo! Welcome, Pastor. You're very welcome among us this morning. So welcome to you this morning. Tuesday night is our prayer and worship night. So we'd love you to join us for Furnace. It's at 7:30 online here. You'll find the links for that on Facebook and on our websites. You can join us live here. This is a global prayer meeting. It's not restricted to Father's House. It's a global prayer meeting. You can join us to pray for one another, for the nation, the nations of the world. On a Tuesday night at 7:30 UK time. I think we're still in British summer time, aren't we?
Yes,
at the moment. So you can join us anywhere in the world on a Tuesday night to pray with us, to intercede on behalf of our nation, the nations. Wednesday night, Touching Heaven is on this week. Yep, it will be on this week in Northern Ireland. You can go on to the, where do they get information on that?
Father's House Northern NI website.
Father's House NI website. Facebook page. Father's House NI website or Facebook page. You can get information there and where to go. They're based in Ahokel in the middle of Ireland. And so it's easy access for anybody in the north to get to. Go and have a time there just being in the presence of God and letting God minister to you and hearing what he's going to say to you on Wednesday night. And then we have Thursday morning. We have a social morning here. We'll probably meet again up at Highcliffe Castle at 10:30. For those of you that are here on the South Coast, we'd love you to join us 10:30 Highcliffe Castle for coffee and just relational community time together. It will be really, really good.
Thursday morning was really good.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed it. It was like a gathering of the clams. So you're more than welcome to come along and join with us and be part of that. It just helps build social community, builds family, and builds community in our community. So be glad to see you there and join with us.
Bring your friends.
A cup of coffee. And if you like cake, yeah, you can have a slice of cake.
Cake. Scone and jam.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely perfect. So yeah, bring your friends along. Let's meet them. Let's just welcome them into the family and just have coffee with them and get to know them a little bit. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So and that's it. Until next Sunday again.
Yeah.
And then we'll see you back here, same time as usual. But remember, take this and share it. Share it with your friends. And remember that later on this afternoon or this evening, the message that's being broadcast now will actually be turned around, edited, and put out on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. If you haven't yet visited the YouTube channel of Freedom Fire Ministries, then go to it, find it, and actually click the subscribe button on there.
Subscribe.
And get our algorithms up higher so that more and more people get to hear online the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
And the teachings that we bring to you
Come
on a weekly
on.
Basis. So we want to just bless you and minister to you this morning. And we just bless Sharon as she begins this message of God's master plan this morning. Father, excited to hear what it is that's on her heart, what she's sensing from you. And Father, we just bless her that what is in her and that spirit of the living God that dwells in her would just arise, bubble up and overflow and just hit everyone that's watching and everyone that will watch this broadcast later. So we just bless today. We thank you, God, that you are our Savior,
Amen.
That you are our strong tower. You're the rock that we can run into and be safe. And we bless you for that, Lord. When the nations of the world rock and reel and not sure where they're going or what's going to be happening, yet we can be steadfast and sure that we stand upon the rock,
Amen.
Christ Jesus. And we bless you for that. We bless you for the ability today, Lord, that we are sons and daughters of the living God.
Amen.
And we bless this message this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, amen.
Come on. Awesome. Well, I have just been blown away this week, absolutely blown away by seeking the Lord and going down lots of little trails and things this week that have just absolutely, wow. Welcome, Katie Bell from up north. Welcome, sister. Great to have you on here. Welcome, Winston. And Nikki, lovely to have you on with us this morning. So I want to speak to you this morning on God's great master plan. Actually, for the human race, that's what I want to speak to you. It's a very, such an easy topic. What is God's great master plan for the human race? Well, sure, everybody should know that, shouldn't they? Well, actually, I think the church is very naive as to God's master plan for humanity in these days. It has never changed. His master plan has never changed from the beginning of time, from time was created until the age to come, right on into eternity forever and ever. His great master plan has never, ever changed. So I want to speak on that this morning and just bring probably another 3-4 sessions on it, actually. So today we're just going to kind of scrape the surface and hopefully whet your appetite on it this morning. So I'm going to speak to you this morning on loving God, the first and great commandment. The first and great commandment. Oh, babe, can you get me my Bible? It's in the lounge, please. Sorry, I've got my Bible. So the first and great commandment. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 22. You got your Bibles with you, which I do hope you have because you're here to learn. So we want to learn. We want to write notes. We want to listen to God and see what God wants to say through this morning and challenge us this morning. So Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. What does he say to us here? So this is what the Lord says. Jesus replied. So he's standing here, right? over speaking to Israel, right in the middle of everybody. And he said, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So we're going to look at the first and great commandment this morning. Jesus' statement in Matthew 22, this statement that he made, this declaration, you shall love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then later on in Mark chapter 12, he says, with all your strength. So he incorporates the physical and the spiritual. He incorporates everything you are as a physical being and everything you are as a spirit being in these two verses. His statement is one of the most significant statements ever in Scripture. I really believe that this is God's mission statement for the human race and the most reliable measurement of success at the judgment seat of Christ. When we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, this is the measure, this is the measurement that we will be aligned to. I remember Bob Jones saying that when he went to heaven, when he died and went to heaven, the Lord said to him, have you learned to love? And because he hadn't learned love, he was sent back to learn love before he was released to go into glory. And this scripture has so many implications for us. It reveals God's personality, what he wants, what he desires. It reveals our value. It reveals how we function. It reveals our destiny and how we should view and love others, since God loves them also so deeply. So in Matthew 22, he makes this dramatic declaration. He stands before the people of Israel and he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then Mark 12, with all your strength, yet another dimension. So he is actually prophesying a declaration. It's a declarative prophetic word. You shall what? You shall love the Lord your God with everything that you are physically, with everything that you are spiritually. He stands before the people of Israel and declares this. And I want to explain some of the depth of these words this morning to you, just to reveal the depth of his love, actually, that calls us to love him. Okay, so this word love, the first word here in this scripture that stands out is the very first word, love. And this word love is the Greek word, goes right back to the Greek word, and it's agapeo. And it's from the root word philio, which means a deep affection for, to love dearly, to hold tenderly, to be totally contented with, that you don't need anything else, to be in complete contentment, to welcome into the inner being, the inner places, and to show love to through kisses of tenderness. So this love the Lord your God is this place where God is saying, I want your deep affection for me. I want you to intensely love me dearly, to be totally contented with me, to welcome me into those deep, deep places, and to show me your love for me with the kisses of your mouth, with the kisses of your words. I want you to speak to me words of love, words of affirmation, words of adoration. So that's the word love, okay? And then we have love the Lord. Love the Lord. Who are we loving? We're loving the Lord. The Greek word in this scripture is kairos, and it speaks of the word of master, ownership, supreme, one who holds us as owner, the totality of the Godhead as the supreme rule of everything. So we're called to love this master, this one who created us, this one who owns us, this one who is supreme and in control of everything. He says, I want your deep affection. This Lord who doesn't really need anything, he is totally and has been self-sufficient all through eternity, along with Jesus and the Spirit. Yet here he is saying to us, I, the Supreme One, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, wants desperately your love, your affection, your adoration. How does he want it? He wants us to love him with all of our heart. This Greek word for heart is the word cardia, and it's the center of all your physical and spiritual being, the center of all your physical and spiritual life, your passions, your desires, your appetites, your affections, your purposes, your endeavors, your will, your inmost parts. He wants all of that absolutely displayed in a way that brings love onto him. Next word, all your soul. This word for soul is psyche. It's the life force. It's the breath. It's so whenever Jesus breathes breath into that newborn baby, when a baby takes its first breath, it's God breathing his life, breathing the soul into that child, breathing the breath, the life force. It's the seed of your feelings, your desires, and your affections. And it's the eternal part of man that isn't subject to death. So your soul is eternal. It comes from the breath of God. It is an eternal life force. Then he says, love him with all your mind, your dianoia. And that means he wants to be loved with everything that you understand, all your understanding, all your thoughts, all your imaginations, and the seed of all your creativity. So the next one here, he says, this is the first and great command. The first and great command. This word first is the word photos. And it means foremost, primary, first place, first in your time, first in your influence, first in your place of honoring, first chief and principal of everything that you do. God wants our heart, our soul, our mind, our affections, our everything, the eternal part of us, the physical part of us, the spiritual part of us, to what? Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God first, foremost, in first place, first in your time, first in influence, first the chief and principal thing of your life, to be in love, to display love with God. And then he said it's the great command. This word great is the word megas, where we get our mega, you know, mega, it's mega, it's a mega store. And you know, when you go to a mega store, you can get everything, you know, you can go to Costco, which is a mega store, and you can get everything from snacks up to car tires. Yeah, you can get everything. So he says that this is the great command, the mega command of all commands. It's the mega command for humanity today. That word megas means the enormity, the depth, the intensity, violent might, violent strength, weight, and the extent or the measure of. So, and then the word command is this word entote. It means to order, to demand, to charge with, to give a charge to set an injunction toward, prescribed to a person by reason of his office. So what is the reason of our office? We are priests and kings, but firstly, we are sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters. The earth is full of sons and daughters. All that God created is what? It is good. Every life that God has created is good. And every life has this command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Let him be first. He wants love with the greatest intensity that we can give him, with all our strength, the weight of all that we can give, the extent of everything that we are. He says, love. This is a command. This is an order. This is an injunction toward you. I am charging you to do this. So I want to speak about the severity of our lack of fulfilling this command today. Yeah. This covers our physical, our spiritual aspects of our lives in this statement. In Matthew 22, 38, he then goes on and he makes this revelatory comment that had never been said before. He says, I want you to know that this is what God the Father calls the first priority of the kingdom. So right back in Exodus and Deuteronomy, where God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, he never said to Moses, this is the first or great command. This was the first time ever that God says, this is the first command. This is the great command. The intensity of his words to Israel in that time was immense, absolutely immense. It is the first commandment. It's the number one priority of the Holy Spirit, to love God. It is the first number one priority of Jesus. It is the first number one priority that he is calling us into. And then he says it is the great command. It's what moves the heart, his heart, the greatest. It's what makes your life the greatest. I'll explain that later. This command will always be the first command, you know, in like a million years from now, this will still be the first command. All through eternity and the age to come, this will still be the first command. Why are we here? We are here to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. We are not here to look for likes on Instagram. We're not here purposefully to see how many followers we've got online here or how many people listen to our message. We're here primarily, first and foremost, to love the Lord our God with everything that we are. You have a responsibility before God today to cultivate a responsive heart to the command of God, to this command. You have a responsibility. This command has gone forth, and you have a responsibility to cultivate a responsive heart, to position yourself to respond to God. Take time to remove what hinders love in your life. Take time to pull out the weeds. Take time to arrange your time so that he is the priority of your time. Take time to take away the things we need to quit, the things we need to turn off so that we have time. I hear people saying, I don't have time. I don't have time for this. Actually, we do, but we give our time to other things. We give our time to other things. There's four dimensions in verse 37 to our humanity as human people, as mankind. There are four dimensions to who we are. I've already spoken about them a little bit. There's our heart, there's our mind, there's our soul, there's our strength. And you need to understand them, because when we stand before the Lord, this is how he will evaluate your life. When you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, he is going to evaluate you based on the first commandment that he made to be a priority, a command, a demand, a charge, an injunction. He will not force it, but he commands it. And I think we've read over this verse so many times, but we actually haven't camped there and talk to the Lord about it. What does it mean, Papa, to love you with all my heart? What does it mean? What does it look like? We haven't taken time to dwell here in this first commandment that we're called to live in. You know, so many people think that greatness is doing well at work, getting promotion, likes on your Instagram, followers in ministry, you know, or media, or big churches, or church plants, or having schools, or whatever, you know. But the Lord would say to you today, no, this is not what greatness is. This is what greatness is. This is what makes you great. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Because when you get that command in your heart and you position yourself to respond to that, to give the intensity of all that you are to in response to that, God says that you are great. This command will make you great in his eyes. Your choices will be great. Your decisions will be great. Why? Because the seat of everything you do will come from loving the Lord and his love being poured out into your life. If you do this, walk in this pursuit of loving God, your life will be called great on the last day by your life choices. This is the greatest choice you can ever make. How amazing will it be to like get up there before him? And he says, wow, your life was great. Your life was great. We've been talking all this time and here you are. Come, daughter of God. Come, son of God. Come. And then we have like this next verse that comes in, the second verse. And this second verse says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So many pursue the second commandment, yet ignore or compromise the first one. How many people do we know that go and sign up for volunteer groups or youth group in church or doing the teas and coffees or doing extra time at work or, whatever, volunteers for the homeless, volunteers for the food bank. How many people do we know that pour their lives out for the body of Christ, for people in the world? They pour their lives out. They pour their lives out. They pursue what? The second commandment. They live in the second commandment and make it the first commandment, ignoring the first commandment or compromising the first command. If you love Jesus and you set your heart to love and pursue him with all of your heart, then it will always, 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 always overflow. And it will always overflow to others around you. It will always overflow. When you fill yourself up with something, when you fill up a cup, if I continue to pour into this glass of water, it would overflow and it would overflow over everything. When we are obedient to the call of God, to the command of God, to give him everything in our love, to love him, pursue him, we will experience such liberty in our healing, such liberty in moving forward. And everything that he is begins to overflow. What are we being filled up with today? What are you being filled up with? What is your life being filled up with today? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? Is it movies? Is it your Instagram? Is it concerns about your work or your bills or your home? Or what is it that's filling up your life? What is it that demands your time right now? What is it that your heart is pursuing? What is it that your soul, your affections are set upon? What is it that your mind is focused on? Is it the Lord? Is it the first command of God? Because whatever you pour into this life, you will overflow. And we wonder why we don't see the healings. We wonder why we don't see all these things happening that happened in Acts in the New Testament. And why are they not happening? Well, what are we full of? What are we filled up with? Huh? What fountains are we drinking from? What are we satisfying our desires with? What are we setting our affections for? You know, when you put the second commandment as the primary command, it's idolatry. Because God is no longer first. The first commandment must be in place for the second commandment to be sustained in our lives. Without loving God, without the love of God in us, you will burn out, you'll become bitter, you'll become tired, because you're not drinking from the fountain that sustains you and brings liberty to you to flow in the second commandment. So people that flow in that second commandment, it's like their whole focus, their love, their honor is given to people. But the Lord would say, you cannot do that apart from me. You have nothing in you apart from me because you will burn. Your connection to my heart is the only chance of walking out the second commandment with love and having it in its proper place of priority. I believe that as we step into flowing with God, being obedient in this first command, that as we pursue it and press in for it, we step into his greatness, not our greatness, but his greatness. And it will lead to great life choices. It will lead to healing of the heart. It will lead to liberty from addictions and habits that we've been trying to break free from. He is the liberator. Yeah. God's mission statement for the human race is to enter into this reality, the reality of this command. How many times do we minister healing to people and we say, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you and he forgives you right now. And you take them through this process of breaking stuff off and this forgiveness and breaking soul ties and generational curses. And then what do? We say, God loves you. You're free. Let God come into that area in your life. But we don't tell them to obey him. We don't tell them that they have to obey the first command to love the Lord their God with everything that they are. That now that they are free, they need to refocus. They need to turn their attention toward him, not toward the things that they have normally done that have led them down that road where they've ended up needing healing, where they've ended up needing therapy, where they've ended up broken and bitter and hurt and useless and no good to anybody. We fail people by not telling them that there's a call to obedience in God. If Jesus isn't first in your life, he's just not there as a priority. Other things are filling up your life. And those things are the things that will overflow, not him. Those things are the things that will overflow. And the thing is, the good news about this first and great command, that when he's first and we become great because his greatness becomes our greatness. Anybody can be great. It's not dependent on your gifting or your lack of gifting. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest prophet, you know, globally, or if you don't feel you've any gifting. When you make this command your priority, when you make it first, when you make it the intent of your heart, then you are great in God's eyes. It's all that you are to him. You're great to him. His greatness floods you. And so, that's what it means, like when God says, you will be called great in the kingdom. Or another way of interpreting this would be, I will declare your life choices to be great. I think it's amazing that our greatness doesn't have to be dependent on what we do or who we are. It's dependent on who he is and how much of him we have in our lives, how much of his love we have in our lives. Is it easy to give God all your love, all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength? I don't think it is, you know. I think we get on this, you know, I'm going to pursue him. Yeah, I'm pursuing you, Jesus, and I'm spending time with Jesus, and I'm feeling great. And you know you feel great when you do that. You know that life changes when you do that. And then you kind of slip a little bit, you know, and fall back a little bit and trip over a little bit. And you have to get up and pursue it again. You have to pursue it again. You have to pursue it again. You may turn around and say, I'm not that great at it, but I am going for it with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. I may not feel great, but I'm going to go for this thing because I know that greatness lies in there. I know that there's reward for me in that place of obedience. This isn't about the level of our love or even our weak love. You know, this is about setting our heart in pursuit of his heart. This is about positioning ourselves for his heart. The Lord is saying to you guys here today, you know, if you stay with it, your life will be called great in my sight. Everyone wants greatness about their life that lasts forever. And only the greatness in your life that God brings, his greatness, will last forever. Are we perfect? Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Do we fail? Yes, we do. But we can go to bed at night following the command of God to pursue him and say out loud, I am on a trajectory. My life is on a trajectory of having a great life because I am pursuing God. I may fail, but I'm still pursuing you, God. I'm still there. I'm still obeying this command. I'm going to seek your heart. I'm going to search you out, because only in you can I be great for others. When you believe that truth, you are strong in your spirit, even with delayed promises that you've been waiting for. Even when you get betrayed or you're disappointed or you're struggling, when people resist you or when you're frustrated, you are on a path to having a great life recorded in the heavenly journals. And if you know that, you can endure and press through anything that you're walking through right now. Press into the Lord in the face of anything, and you'll have the assurance in your heart, even when you feel weak in your love, you know that his love is what sustains you. His love is what makes you great. It's not about your maturity. It's about positioning your heart. It's about your position before him. The first commandment doesn't start with us, guys. You know, it starts with him. It starts with the God who loves us and with all his heart, in the same intensity that he loves inside the fellowship of the Trinity. You know, when you think like how in eternity past, all that has been, you have had the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in perfect harmony, perfect fellowship, just absolute totality of love and perfection. It's that love, it's that God that loves us with all his heart. And that same intensity that they share is the same intensity that he loves you with today. And he wants you to pursue him for that. He wants you to pursue him to know that intense love that he has shared for all of eternity, that will liberate you, that will equip you for everything that you face right now. So what does it reveal about God? It reveals his personality. You know, love is the grid that he judges us through. Love is what brought Christ to earth. Love is what took him to the cross. The love of the Father is what took him back. The love of God is what sent the Spirit to dwell within us. Love is the grid that he judges us through. This God makes loving God the number one priority of his entire empire. This God makes loving God the number one priority of his entire empire. If you're part of his kingdom, if you're part of his empire, the first command as you walk in that door is love me with everything that you are. Love me with everything that you are. Throughout history, the kings and the rulers or prime ministers, they all want people that serve them and work for them, yeah? For the great thing. What is the great thing? The promotions, the prosperity. But God desires that we serve him. But that's not first. Yes, he wants us to love our neighbor, but that's the second commandment. The first is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. It reveals how he thinks. It reveals how he feels. It reveals how he judges. What else does it reveal? It reveals our value. We might be weak and we might be broken in our natural man. And why? I just sometimes think, you know, like, why would God, that created the stars, the universe, all his beautiful creation, why would he turn his affection from gazing at that to gazing at us? What is it that he sees in us? What is it that he deems great that causes his gaze to be turned toward us? You know, he sees through eternal eyes. He sees the whole thing. He sees us completed. He's already in eternity to come. He's already here with us now. Above all else, God desires your love toward him. Your time, your voice, your heart, your emotions, your thoughts, your strength, your energy, pardon me, your words, so much more. He commands it, but he will never force it. You know, it gives great value to your life that God longs for your love, not your service. It is the first priority of the kingdom. It is the first command of his empire. Love me. Love me. not serve me, love me, love me. You know, the Lord has billions of angelic angels that work for him. He doesn't necessarily need workers. He calls us into that harvest field, but he has billions of workers. He doesn't need us. He chooses us. He chooses us because of his great love for us. And I think it's time to say thank you to him, you know. Lord, thank you that you gaze on me. Thank you that you take time to display your intense love and value for me. So it also reveals our function. It's what we're made for. It reveals what we're called to reach for. He wants us all to this incredible love for him. And it really needs to change how we process our lives, what our priorities are. And this word, you know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, the first and great commandment, is like, it actually means to pursue. And we want to be those that pursue or reach for. To pursue something doesn't mean you've attained it. It means that you're reaching for it. You're searching for it. You're reaching out for it. You're after it with everything that you are. You're chasing it down. You know, my journey has been one of reaching and pursuing and stumbling and reaching again and trip ups and reaching again and again and again and again. If you don't reach, you're like a car that's stuck in the mud. You'll never go any further. Without love, you're nothing, the Bible says. You have nothing of value to give to anyone. And we don't want to be cars that are stuck in the mud. We want to be those that are reaching forward. And every time you reach, there's more liberty that comes in your spirit. Every time you reach, there's more strength that comes in your inner man to get you to mature you, to strengthen you for days ahead. Without love, the Bible says that all that we do is like dirty rags before the Lord. I don't want to stand before him in the judgment seat of Christ and have a pile of dirty rags. I wanted to say your life was great, Sharon. I want to say your life was great, Andrew, or Hazel, or Deirdre, or Robert. Your life is great. Why? Because you chose to love me. Because you were obedient to me. You searched for me. You pursued me just as I searched for you. You pursued me and you found me. Reaching will give you liberty in your spirit and strength to move forward. You can choose to move forward in your own strength. You can choose to be pour out you all that you are, but you will burn out. You will become disappointed. You will get frustrated. But with him, there's liberty. There's liberty in being obedient. This is all about pursuing, not necessarily obtaining. Yes, you're obtaining it, but if you're pursuing it, even with your stumbling and you're reaching again and again and you stumble again, you lose sight of it and you return again, that constant reach will give you the liberty in your spirit to stand again and again and again, and to grow in the ability to stay solid in your love and your life. You remember Ephesians 16, and having done what? All to stand, what? Still stand. Still reach, still pursue, still be there, still run the course. So many people in the church today have forgotten their first love. Their lives are like constant circles of highs and lows and depression, anxiety and rejection and constant fear of the future, being absorbed by thinking how bad they are and their failures, and nobody cares for me and how worthless I am and I don't mean anything to anybody. How often do we hear that in the church? Without Christ, you know, that is our basic human nature. It's called fallen. It's the old man. But in Christ, in love, love is everything. Love is life. Love is breath. Love is strength. There's a way out of it, and it's setting your heart to pursue love. Grace is not free. It is a gift that has been given with conditions attached to it. What are the conditions of grace? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Grace is a gift. Salvation is a gift. But there are conditions. And the conditions are Matthew 27, 38, 39, 37, 38. Love the Lord your God love the Lord your God. All too often we tell people, God loves you, you know, and it's true. But we don't tell them their responsibility. We don't call them into their place of responsibility. We don't call them to position their heart, to make him their first so that they can be great. Why is it the great command? Because when we pursue God, God's love fills us, equips us. Everything that we need for life is sustained in him, not in us. It's in him.
Your life is not yours. You were bought with a price. It belongs to the master. The first command
never began with us. It all began with him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts, focus, function, desires, passions, attention are committed to him. Committed to him. If you want the strength of the Lord today, be committed to him. Search him out. Find out for you what it is to love God. How do I love you, God? Ask him, how do you want me to love you, God? You know, one of my favorite verses that kind of undergirds all of this I'm speaking about this morning is John 15:9. John 15:9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Who's he speaking about? Jesus says, as the Father has loved him, as the Father has loved him. Can you imagine that perfect love, that unconditional love, that fashioned love, that continuous oneness that they had together, that there was no shame or no guilt and no fear. There was just perfect acceptance, perfect love, perfect adoration of each other, perfect communion, perfect communication. And he says, as the Father has loved me, this is my what? Beloved son. I love him. He's my son. I've sent him to you, but I want you to know who he is and what he means to me. He is my beloved. As the Father has loved me, said Jesus, so I have loved you. I have come from the Father. Why? To display love for you. Why? So remain in that love. Stay in that love. Abide in that love. We love him because he loved us first. It wasn't our decision. That's what we're dealing with here. It's the intensity of his love for us. The intensity of heaven's love poured out over us that calls us into that vacuum, that huge whirlwind of love that we want to be wrapped up in, that we want to stay in the middle of. As we go deeper into that, we will be learning more and more and more every day. Under the age to come, we're still going to be learning how to love him forever and ever and ever. The eternal command of God is love the Lord your God, loving him. We need to start now to learn how to be obedient, learn how to love, because all through eternity, you're going to be called to love. There's always more. God, you love me with your mind. How does he love us with the mind? Have you looked at the stars and the sky and creation? That was the mind of God. It was the creative imaginations of God that called the visible world to come from the invisible heart of Jesus, the invisible heart of God. We want to be in love with that person who gave us all of his mind. Everywhere you look, you see the mind of God, the creative, beautiful mind of God. Every time you experience love and mercy and grace and goodness and kindness and long-suffering and self-control, you're experiencing the character and nature of the love of God over you. There's always more, guys. There's always more. How do we even begin to grasp it, you know? We reach for it. We pursue it. We pursue it again and again. God, I pursue you. I will give you all. I will give you all. I will pursue you until the end. I will pursue you until the age to come. Take it, camp in it, sing this verse, pray it, read it, meditate on it. Let its strength and its truth liberate you on the inside. Let it call you into one of the greatest love encounters you've ever had and ever will have in your life. He is love. Jesus made these three dynamic statements in John 15. As the Father has loved me, that's how I love you. Abide in it, dwell in it, contend for this place. Do not leave it. Live in this truth. Abide in this. Dwell here. Contend for this. Do not leave this place. Live in this truth. The same way the Father loves the Son from eternity past, the Father, Son, and Spirit, this whole fellowship, it's like this same love is what he has for you. Such incredible delight he has in loving you. You know, I think about Jesus when he was saying this, as the Father has loved me. And I think at that moment when he was talking, he just kind of went into this wee world and he was like, ah, as you love me. Oh, wow. And I think at that moment, he was like thinking of the love of the Father for him and all the ways the Father loved him. I think there was a pause. Oh, as the Father has loved me, that same way I love you. That same way I love you. Contend for this. Live in this place. Don't leave this place. Pursue it. Reach for it. I want you to stay locked in on these two truths, says the Lord. The intensity of how God loves me is the intensity of how I love you, says the Lord. Jesus knew the first commandment starts correctly with these two things. Starts correctly. If we bypass these two truths of the Father's love for Christ and Christ's love for us, and if we bypass these two mountains and we try to love God with, I'm going to love God. I'm just going to love God. He would say, hey, it's not going to work that way. You have to take a few steps back and to see how the Father loves the Son, how the Son loves the Father, so that you know what love you're stepping into, so that you know the love that's coming to you that equips you and enables you to love me. I want you to stay in that place of understanding and observing and reaching for and pursuing how we love each other so that you know how much we love you. When you understand how much we love you, you will automatically come into that place of love. You will flow in that place of love, that river. You know, humans by nature are cruel. We're mean. We're selfish. It's called the fallen nature. We're mean people without Jesus. We're mean people without the love of God. And it's hard to love people when we're up close and they get on our nerves, you know, or they offend us, or, you know. It's not about trying harder, guys. It's about setting your heart, positioning yourself to receive that which liberates you. That love that you receive from the Lord. That love, that communion, as you love him, he loves you. This glass gets filled up, it overflows. And then you don't have to grit your teeth when you're loving people that you don't like. He doesn't say like them. He does say love them. But we can't love them if we don't have love within us. So how do we do it? We step into phase one. See the intensity of how the Father loves the Son. This is my beloved Son. See the intensity of his love for him. Phase two, see the intensity, that same intensity of how Jesus loves you. The same way as his Father loves him. When you see these two truths and you marinate in them, you won't have to grit your teeth to love God or to love those around you. Your heart response will be a steady movement of your heart saying, whoa, I love you, God. I love that you love me. I love that you see me. I love that you gaze upon me. I love that you love me the same way as you love the Father. I love you, Father, the same for the love that you have for Jesus, and you love me like that, that I am your beloved.
You know, often when we stumble, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but often when we stumble, we
kind of hide away from God for a season. You know, we feel that shame. It's like, oh, man. We want to avoid his face, thinking he won't want to see us. And yet God says, no, let me love you with the same intensity that the Father loves me. And I will heal this in you. I will cure you. I will liberate you. I will heal your heart of failure and betrayal. I will set your feet upon a rock. This passage in John 15 is such a mountain of truth for us, guys. It's a mountain of truth for us to overcome the enemy of our soul. It overcomes the lies of the enemy. It overcomes the lies of man. It overcomes the pressures of the world. When was the last time you paused to read this passage? Not just read over it, but to camp in it. This John 15 verse 9, this Matthew 22 verses 37, 38. When did you last camp in these verses? Take time right now, right now, right at this minute. Let's just do this, okay? Just put your hand over your own heart or your hands out or whatever way you want to connect with God right now. And I want you just to say to him, thank you that you love me the way the Father loves you. Thank you that you love me the way the Father loves you. Thank you that you love me the way the Father loves you. Then ask the Spirit, reveal more of Jesus' love to me. Reveal how Jesus loves me, Spirit. Reveal how Jesus loves me. Impart it to me. Reveal it to me. Impart it to me. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me the way the Father loves you. Spirit, reveal this to me. Impart it to me. Reveal it to me. Impart it to me. I really believe this is one of the most important prayers, that nothing is more important for us today. When we begin to talk with God primarily about our things, our situations, our finance, healing, ministry, opportunities, promotions, our difficulties, we have slipped away. You're not abiding. You have moved on to another truth. What do you talk to God about mostly in your personal life? Is it about your work? Is it about your kids? Is it about your need for healing or to be set free from difficulties in life? Your finances? Is it about kingdom promises that you haven't seen fulfilled? Is it about opportunities that are presenting to you right now? I'm challenging you this morning. I really want you to think about this, guys. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I believe this is a word from the Lord this morning. God would say to you, make those things the number two in our conversation. Make those things the number two in our conversation.
Let them not be the dominant or the primary thing that you do with God when you come before him. Because his command says, firstly, love me. Love me. Come into my court, into my gates with what? Praise. And my courts with what? Thanksgiving. Don't come in with all your rubbish and your ponderings. And
use me like a slot machine. I want you to come before me. Love me. And then we can have those other conversations. Remember how he told the disciples that they would betray him? You know, our humanity is really fragile. It's weak. It's selfish. It betrays. But the love of Jesus has this intensity, just like the Father had for him. This love of Jesus for you has this intensity that he pursues you. Why? Because the Father wants your love. He wants your love. This truth that the disciples heard, this command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. This other command, as the Father loves me, so I have loved you. Abide in that truth. Abide in this place. As the Father loves me, so I've loved you, was the truth that restored the disciples. It was the truth that restored them. They knew when they saw Jesus that they knew that as the Father has loved him, this Jesus on the shore, that so this Jesus loved them, even in their betrayal. And it enabled them to what? Step into liberty, get out of the boat, come and have breakfast with the Lord. It caused them not to run away. Because they understood that scripture that Jesus brought, oh, I love you, the way the Father loves me, I love you. I know you're going to slip up. I've told you you were going to betray me, but I have purpose for you. I have plans for you. I want to impart my love to you so that what? You can love those around you and see them restored. That is who you are. It doesn't matter how much you've fallen right now. If you've fallen, you slip. Get back up on your feet, pursue him again, reach out for him again, step into that place of Matthew 22 again, that John 15 again. Declare his love over you. Talk to him about it. Thank you that you love me the way the Father loves you. Show me, Spirit, what this looks like. Reveal it to me. Impart it to me so that liberty comes in my soul. In Exodus 19, you know, over 3 million people gathered around the foot of a mountain to watch this intense, intense display of power in thunder and lightning and smoke and trumpet blasts. Can you imagine standing at the foot of the mountain, like wherever you're at, of Slemish in Ireland or Snowdonia over here somewhere, and all of a sudden you're gathered there with all these people and smoke starts to billow out of this mountain, thunder, lightning starts to come, and trumpets start to blast over and above the sound of the thunder and the lightning. Can you imagine the power, the display of power that was released at those in that moment? Yet what was it that God said to those people? He didn't say to them, bow down and worship me, give all you have to me. He says, love me. Deuteronomy 6, he exhorted the people to love him with what? All their heart. I am powerful. I am supreme. I am the God of thunder and lightning and trumpet blasts. I am the God that parts the seas. I am the God that makes the impossible possible. I am the God that brings the invisible through to the visible realm. But I am the God that firstly wants your love for me. I want you to love me. That's what I demand of you. That's what I command of you. Love me. I need your love. I need your love. Deuteronomy 6, he exhorted the people to love him with all their heart. He exhorted them, come. And then Deuteronomy 30, Moses prophesied that Israel would love the Lord their God with all their heart in the end times. He prophesied this, you will love the Lord your God. Israel, you will love the Lord your God. There was this prophetic declaration that went out. And Jesus defined loving God as being rooted in the spirit of obedience. John 14, verses 15 to 31. If you want to read that, John 14, verses 15 to 31. Jesus defined the very heart of loving God as being rooted in a spirit of obedience. People, we are called to love God on God's terms, not ours. If you keep my commandments, you love me if you. Matthew 22, he added these great words. Command, this command to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. He did. First, this is the first command. And it is the great command. And I believe in these days that the greatest miracle of human history, I really do, is the transformation of the end time church from being a compromising Laodicean church, not hot, not cold, ready to be vomited out of the mouth of God, dull, compromising with superficiality, turned into a global transformation into the bride of Christ in the span of a generation, which could, according to Genesis 15, be like 30 years, 50 years, or 100 years. But I believe that the greatest miracle in human history is that the church today, this compromising, Laodicean spirit that is upon the church of dullness and compromise and superficiality, the greatest miracle is going to see it being transformed into the glorious, powerful, beautiful, love-filled bride of Christ. Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22 is the Laodicean church. This I have against you. You're neither hot nor cold. Do you have eyes to see, guys? Do you have ears to hear right now what the Spirit is saying to the church? to you? You who are listening, you who are watching, what is he saying to you? What are you having eyes to see right now in this message? Raise up the shepherds, God. Raise up the shepherds who uncompromisingly will make loving you a priority. That will not be concerned about their numbers and their followers, but that will make loving you their priority. That all that flows from them will be love from you. That the first thing in their lives will be loving you. That they will stand as great men and women of God, leading others into that place of love. God is everything that he needs except one thing, your love.
He would say to you today, this is who I am. When you set your heart on this, your life choices are great. This is what makes your life great. This is what liberates your heart in the greatest way. When the healing of the human heart is separated from this obedience and pursuit of love, from doing the first commandment, we can imagine that we can get breakthrough. We can get the greatest liberty. But apart from going for this, it's not real. People will keep going back to the same thing that hurt them. They'll keep going back to those disappointments. They'll keep going back. But when we bring our obedience and our pursuit of love together, the liberty that comes in our soul, in our spirit, in our heart, in our mind, enables our strength to run the race. We need this commandment in the middle of a worship movement, the middle of a healing movement, the center of the counseling movement, the center of the preaching movement, the evangelistic movement, the prophetic movement, the missions movement. This needs to be the first and greatest pursuit and command of every area of our lives. Everything that we do needs to be anchored in this reality. I'm not being harsh, you know, and calling you dirty, rotten sinners. I'm just saying this is what God is saying. How do we do it? Remember, phase one, see the intensity of how the Father loves the Son. Phase two, see the way the Son loves you. Thank him for how he loves you and ask the Spirit to reveal this love to you and impart this love to you. Reach for him, pursue him. I'm going to paraphrase on closing. Matthew 22, verses 37, 38, and it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. I'm going to paraphrase it. This is what I've paraphrased. I, your supreme master, with all the fullness of all that I am, have turned my affection toward you. I want you just to close your eyes and just receive this today. I, your supreme master, your Lord, with the fullness of all that I am, have turned my affection toward you. The deepest parts of who I am, with nothing hidden, welcomes you, calls you and commands you today into a journey of inexpressible love. I have loved you before you were born, before my breath entered your being. I love you with deep intensity and weight. The enormity and depth of my love is here waiting for you to experience and to be flooded within your deepest parts so that you can truly love me in return. All my affection is toward you. You are always on my mind. I long to call you great, for you are my great design and purpose. You were created to hold the vast strength and might of my love and to flood the earth with the truth that only I call you great. You are my first and greatest creation. Loving you holds first place in my heart even now. I, your master, the one who is supreme, command, order, and charge you, set an injunction toward you this day to set as a primary focus of your heart, your affections, your passions, your endeavors, your longings, both spiritual and physical, both your will and character, the depths of your innermost being, to pursue me, to reach for me, to love me. Welcome me into every aspect of your life and being. I charge you to contend for my love, to pursue me, to set your affection for loving me as your primary focus and priority. I am to be first place in your affections and focus, in your time allocation, first place of what influences your choices and your decisions, the chief and principal goal of your love and attention.
My command and order is that today you choose to love me, pursue me with all your strength and your might, with intense intent to love me and experience my love in vast measure. In that place, liberty will be your gift. Your choices will be great due to divine influence, for my purpose is to bless you and not to curse you, to give you life and life in its fullness. To live is to love me. To love me is to experience me. The overflow of our love will affect and transform all that is around you. All that is around you. There is no greater love than a man lays down his life for his friends. We have experienced the greatest love, the greatest liberty. But today God calls you into that place of positioning where he becomes your priority, where you reach and pursue that love that he has for you. So Lord, I just, Lion of Judah, I know that you're roaring over us right now, that you are calling us to be obedient, to position our hearts, that you would be the first priority, that you would be the first point of conversation. Our love for you would be our first point of conversation when we come before you. Jesus, reveal, let me know how the Father loves you. Spirit, reveal to me the love of God. Impart that revelation to me that I can love deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to just give you an opportunity this morning. If you are being blessed by this ministry, I want to give you an opportunity to sow into this ministry today so that we can go further, press in deeper into the things that God has for us here. You know, I really feel God's heart on this word. There's so much more. It's only a scratch of the surface today. And I really hope it challenged you, because this is a command that we cannot ignore. It's a command that will take us even on into eternity. That first command will still stand, to love him with everything that we are. And we need to turn our gaze toward it, to press into him, to pursue the liberty that comes from loving God in our lives. So I want to give you an opportunity to sow into what we do here. You can do that through PayPal at paypal.me/fathershouse61. Or you can just give a direct transfer into the Father's House account, which, if you've got a pen, or you can screenshot this if you've got your computer or your phone there. And the account number is 41566776. The sort code is 401722. Or you can go on to freedomfireministries.com, and there's a donate button there for PayPal or CrossPay that you can give. And if you're still old school, you can still do by check and write a check payable to Father's House and send it to the address on the screen, 3 Bure Close, Christchurch, Dorset, BH23 4EE. I bless you to do that right now, to give into this ministry so that we can take things further and just press in for more of God. Okay, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being with us. Take this word and share it with your friends. And we just bless you today in Jesus' name.